The Changeover is back with another episode. This week,
writing articles that satisfy for information intent is a shrinking game. It's getting smaller because Google has, long before AI, been trying to solve for those queries directly in search results pages forever. What phrases still have visit website intent? Ask that question before you create a piece of content. If you don't click two or three times on an analytics report, it's not a good analytics report. You have to keep clicking on it, make a filter, add a secondary dimension, you know, customize the report or create comparisons. There's like four features on that report. You have to use those or you won't find insights.
How should marketers be changing their thinking when it comes to how to use these tools to be successful?
The reasons we use prompts are often to get started or to get unstuck. Those are two of the classic reasons to do it. I also think it's very, very useful to use prompts to do tiny audits or gap analysis, as you mentioned.
One thing that I really liked that you had for an example in the book was the idea of building a custom GPT to be a stand-in for a customer persona.
The end result will be that you have a synthetic member of your target audience that you can talk to day or night. You can get feedback on any asset. You can ask it about any deliverable. You can, you know, you can run your sales scripts past it. You can run your meeting agendas past it, and it will give you feedback.
Hi, I'm Joe Phillip, Director of Creative Strategy at Wider Group. On this episode of the Changeover podcast, we're exploring how content marketing has changed in recent years and what today's marketers need to do to stay ahead, balancing SEO, AI, and audience engagement to create content that drives results. Joining me today is Andy Crestedina, co-founder of and CMO of Orbit Media Studios, a prolific content creator himself, and author of Content Chemistry, the illustrated handbook for content marketing. Can we go back to AI? Because AI, right? So we
yes.
know that it's changing
that's
search
why.
That's behavior.
All you need. That's all the reason
that's,
we need.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. So we know that most Google searches are typically branded searches or navigational searches. We had built sort of this idea in our heads that there was this middle space, right? That we were feeding. And it turns out that a lot of informational searches are, I've seen the numbers, it's still a very small percentage, but there is movement of informational searches from search engines to AI. Thinking about that, does that mean that really, besides what you said about a super clear, well-written website, are there other things that we need to be thinking about to be part of that universe that's opening up?
Joe, you're asking great questions, very important questions that will guide conversations for the next few years, honestly. This is a really big one. First of all, writing articles that satisfy for information intent is a shrinking game. It's getting smaller because Google has, long before AI, been trying to solve for those queries directly in search results pages forever. I remember back in the day when people used to build glossaries. Like, yeah. Oh, I've got an SEO strategy. I'm going to make a glossary. I'm going to have the definition for everything. That's dead because every definition intent key phrase is zero click. Why would you click? You never wanted to click. Your visitors never wanted to click for that anyway. So if you're publishing content that aligns with information intent queries, you have to go really big. You have to make a very detailed thing, like a complete guide with an infographic and a video. And like this thing has to really kind of exceed the visitor's expectations and prove to the search engine that it's like truly exhaustive. Then you're more secure. Answer bigger questions with deeper answers. The fact that people are moving to AI, right? First thing you need to do is to go to GA4 and create a report. It's called an exploration. That shows traffic from AI to your website. It's the fastest growing traffic to your website. You're going to see that line go up because more and more people are clicking through actually from AI to websites. Attribution's not great there because lots of AI activity happens inside apps and traffic from apps to websites just shows up as direct. So it's always going to be kind of a problem, a gap in your data, but that's okay. We already talked about that. Mm-hmm. But I think that, again, start with the bottom of the funnel, optimize your key pages. Well, first, make sure you have a page for each service or product you offer and optimize those pages for the commercial intent key phrases because those phrases still do have click-through rates. I've watched my traffic peaked in 2019. It's gone down ever since 2019. But that's mostly because these random blog articles that ranked high and got ridiculous traffic for these info intent phrases, that's on the decline. The traffic to my service pages, website optimization, web development, WordPress, web design, bank web design, all these things, still good. It's not declining. Yeah. So what phrases still have visit website intent? Ask that question before you create a piece of content.
That is great advice. We've got a few of those funny little examples too, right? Of the odd blog posts that get
so many
silly amounts of traffic. And
there should be a name for that.
Invent one and I will amplify
random,
you.
Random weird post. Yeah. And ironically, if you don't look closely at analytics, it just all clumps together in your top line traffic.
Right.
So when that post drops in visibility, your top line traffic drops and you start freaking out even though nothing happened.
Right. It was just that post about paperclips that everybody visits, right? And has nothing to do with your business. Yeah.
Joe, I won't tell you what mine are. They're almost embarrassing. Like what I was ranking for. I'm like, I'm annoyed by that. It's like, it's affecting my data. I sometimes make a filter to exclude those two or three really random ones. Like there's no business impact from them. Never report on top line traffic alone. Drill down. Traffic from search to key pages. Traffic from paid. You know, from mobile or desktop, very useful.
Well,
you have
makes
to combine
sense.
Multiple
it makes
things.
Sense, yes, that you'd want those details, right? Otherwise, you're really not learning much about your traffic except for literally how much there is.
That's a terrible way to do marketing. If you don't click two or three times on an analytics report, it's not a good analytics report. You have to keep clicking on it. Make a filter, add a secondary dimension. You know, customize the report or create comparisons. There's like four features on that report. You have to use those or you won't find insights.
So we're still on AI. We're still going to keep talking about AI just because.
Because,
yes. So the new edition of the book includes lots of sample and starter AI prompts. And I would like you to talk a little bit about the process you went through developing those prompts, because I know from experience that the better you get at prompting, the better you get at getting what you want from these tools.
Yeah.
So how should marketers be changing their thinking when it comes to how to use these tools to be successful?
The reasons we use prompts are often to get started or to get unstuck. Those are two of the classic reasons to do it. I also think it's very, very useful to use prompts to do tiny audits or gap analysis, as you mentioned. And I taught that at Experience Inbound, which is an awesome, lovely event that people should attend. And I recommend it's a community
Thank
you build.
You.
So hats off, Joe.
It's so fun.
It's great. It's really great. Yeah. There's a road trip involved. I'm a fan. Anyway, the starting point for these prompts, whatever you're doing, is probably to go back and look to see if you have any SOP, standard operating procedures. This is the thing you do all the time anyway. This is a process you've had in place for years. It's documented or it's not. Break that down and look for steps in that process to support with a prompt. Not to replace anybody, but just to help to make something a little bit faster or a little bit more comprehensive. Another point of view. Most AI is just giving us points of view. Okay, cool. The next step past that is to build, once you have a prompt, to actually collaborate with the AI on improving the prompt. So let's say I'm doing paid social. I don't do any paid social, but if I have a process where I create paid social assets, I do the creative, these are going to go on LinkedIn somewhere. We always have a step where we go through these three things. Like, did it have a surprising word? Did it have a specific verb? Is there a face in the image? Okay, great. Now I'm going to write a prompt that will audit all of our future paid social assets against those criteria. Cool. I got a little prompt. Next, give the prompt back to AI and say, how could this be a better prompt?
And it will give you stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. I fed it a presentation I was working on yesterday and did the same thing. And I asked for improvements slide by slide. What would you recommend? Now, I did throw away about half of its advice because, again, it's for everyone. Right.
Good,
and I'm
Joe.
Not for everyone. But
away half at least. Sure.
Right.
That's fine.
But that interaction that is a non-writing interaction. I mean, obviously, you have to type to make a prompt, but it's not content production. It's just handling it. To me, that is a super fun and liberating way to interact with the AI. Now you also, one thing that I really liked, that you had for an example in the book was building the idea of building a custom GPT to be a stand-in for a customer persona. Can you describe that? Just give me the, 30-second how you'd build it for somebody who might not have thought about that so far.
So the end result will be that you have a synthetic memory of your target audience that you can talk to day or night. You can get feedback on any asset. You can ask it about any deliverable. You can, you can run your sales scripts past it. You can run your meeting agendas past it, and it will give you feedback. Amazing. How do you get a good one? Well, there's prompts that you can start with, and I publish them in the book. There's like a persona prompt example in there. You also may have things you can use and just upload to AI. I've got an ideal client persona profile, or I've got some interview notes from my last 10 meetings, or SparkToro reports. Like, okay, so you're talking to the AI about building a synthetic member, and you can make it a custom GPT, so you can save it and share it and collaborate with other people on it. But in the end, this thing lists mostly what you need to know: their hopes and dreams. What's the story in this person's life? What are they trying to? What about what you do is most important to them? Their fears and concerns. What objections do they have that have to be handled? What are our best evidence and proof points to assuage those objections? Their emotional triggers. What are they afraid of and worried about? Why wouldn't they do this? How do you defeat status quo? Why now? Why, we have to answer the question in a marketing, why now? And then finally, their decision criteria for selecting a company like yours. Hopes, dreams, fears, concerns, emotional triggers, and their decision criteria. Until you know the decision criteria, how do you even make a web page? Like, what should the order be?
Okay, that was going to be my question to you. Where am I getting their decision criteria? Are you talking about going back to my sales transcripts?
That would be lovely. But I never want to advocate for laziness, but I can't believe how good AI is at this. Just ask AI and it will give you an 80% head start. It doesn't know you. It's never talked to your prospects. You must edit it. Don't trust AI. You got to fix it. Whatever it gives you, it's going to miss something. It's going to give you a couple things that your audience maybe doesn't care about. Like I was doing one the other day for like an aromatherapy product, and it's like, they care about customer service. No, they don't. This buyer does not care about that. And it forgot to mention, this person cares about skin conditions or something. It's like a balm. It misses things. You have to tell it to what it missed. You have to fix it. And then once you believe in it, like 90%, you can start uploading things and asking it, what does my persona think of this? Giving it internal documents like your marketing strategy. Remove your brand name if you're worried about long-term memory or training, sure. GPT-5 or whatever. Or just give it your homepage. Give it your competitor's page. Give it all of your competitor's pages. Ask it, and here's my language for some of these prompts. Rate the extent to which this blank meets or does not meet the information needs of the persona, or aligns or does not align with the emotions of the persona. So rate the extent to which meets or does not meet. It will make a chart for you. And you look at it and you'll say, that part's interesting. That part's wrong. That part's really good. And then you go make a small change and get back to your day. Like, it's just an analyst. It's a helpful tool. It's just a tool.
And if you find one thing that's really good.
Win.
Yes, win. Well, that's the thing, because, when we're talking about industrial marketers, a lot of the time, the ROI on the work we do, it takes one win, right? To pay
for
itself.
I love your category. Yeah, we did a site for a company that sells like a $400,000 piece of equipment. And their stretch goal was to generate 2,000 leads a year. The site's generating 4,000 leads a year.
Nice.
They don't need nearly that kind of demand to grow. But no, I love that. The low volume, high value categories.
Yeah.
And so in that key moment, visitor lands on web page. If there's one objection left unaddressed, they might hit the back button because they came from search and they saw six other options. So find AI-powered, persona-driven gap analysis to find unaddressed objections on your two or three key pages on your website, that tip alone can drive real business outcomes, like actual growth.
Oh, sure. I would take that maybe one step further, right? And do that same thing with key competitors' websites, right? Find the gaps there and fill them on your own and see what happens.
Thank you for that. Sure. Yes, differentiate. I love it.
So in your book, you explain the importance of having a content marketing mission statement, and you reference a Venn diagram with the overlap between what we can teach and what the audience wants. Mm-hmm. You point out that a minority of content marketers even actually have a documented mission statement for their marketing, even though those who do report much better performance, right? We talk with our clients about developing what we call and articulating what we call a publisher identity, which is similar, right?
Yep.
It helps them zero in on the content that fits in their sweet spot in that Venn diagram. Your book describes publisher and library approaches, right, to content publication, either broader in topic diversity or a narrow, deep approach. What advice would you give to an industrial marketer on choosing their own approach and what's going to work for them? What should they be thinking about?
Well, if you don't have a big marketing team, I'm going to assume that industrial marketing teams are a little scrappier than some. These aren't like VC-funded Bay Area big tech companies.
Right.
So I would focus on evergreen topics. I would focus on the few key decision makers in the process. And I would focus on those, like we said earlier, you know, one original research piece a year if you can swing it. Take a little stand on a topic if you can swing it. And then just gradually build up a little bit of a library. Like I said about John Jantsch, you could later repurpose those into guides. Those guides may be exactly what lights up your prospect when you send one as a follow-up to a sales call. But no, publications. Well, publication by that, I mean like a periodical. Like you've got, you know, weekly news. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a big effort. Try to publish weekly news? You know, that's... The Marketing AI Institute, that's their only format, right? That's their 100% of their focus is that podcast. So it's very hard to do. It's a big lift. It's a lot of work. So I would just do evergreen things. I wouldn't be a slave to your publishing calendar. I would leave the dates off your blog UX. And I would publish longish things that are very detailed and that align with sales calls. So that content mission statement might be, you know, our content is where industrial plant managers find safety and process manufacturing advice to run more efficient and profitable facilities. You know, that's audience X, information Y, benefit Z.
Guardrails, right there.
Yep.
Right.
Now I have a foundation for a strategy.
Once you've got that foundation in place and you're building out your whole content arsenal, how would you recommend those marketing teams look at, so those bigger, higher effort pieces of content, how would you recommend they look at those as, say, raw material for a larger content distribution strategy? What are the things they need to be thinking about when they make that big piece? And let's say they've got, you know, they've got activity in a couple different platforms and they know they need to be pushing content there too. How do they go from that one piece they made to all the other stuff that they could and in some cases should be doing?
Well, Joe, as a strategist, I know you'd have a great answer to this too. I'll give a kind of a, just a way to think about it. Executives don't like approving budgets for endless programs. If you actually try to box it in a little bit and say, we're going to blog into this outline. There's 8 things that matter to our visitors and our audience. Each of those has probably 3 or 4 pieces to it. We're going to gradually fill in this giant outline with detailed articles. And as we go, we're going to repurpose them as guides. And as we go, we're going to chop them up into social content. As we go, we're going to record a few as videos. As we go, we're going to pitch a few of these in rewritten formats to the associations. As we go, we're going to collaborate with some influencers. But this is a finite thing. We're building it with collaboration, repurposing, and kind of this, you know, specific scope in mind. I think that just sounds different. It's really not an endless job. You know, maybe we can just, you know, sort of blog into what will be maybe be a book. Coming back to the first question, which is, you know, that was the original content strategy.
So that makes sense to me. I mean, what you're saying, what it sounds like you're saying to me is when you start with intention, right? When you start with an idea
strategic
of
thinking.
All the things,
mm-hmm.
right, of all the things that should be done, and then all the things that can be done with this content, and lay that out in advance so you actually have a path that you know you will be walking. And then you can really speak to those stakeholders about, okay, it looks like we're doing this really, really resource-intensive paper, for example. But mm-hmm. did you know we're also going to be able to make these 25 other things as a result. Then it's value, right? Value for the investment.
build the mini version of Wikipedia for your niche. It can be pretty small. They used to call it your elbow, your lifetime body of work, LBOW. What's your LBOW going to look like in 3 years? Plan it out. Build it out. Right. Let's build lay it out. Like there's your strategy.
Not that hard, right?
A couple thousand hours a year. You got this.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go back to paid ads real quick. We know that, again, marketers are under all this pressure to demonstrate their impact. We know pay-per-click, measurable, finite, straight line, all the great things. Given that fact, how reliant should brands be on paid ads for content promotion versus relying on organic visibility through, say, subject matter experts, internal and employees sharing on social? And how should we be thinking about that balance?
Paid ads for content would definitely be an experiment in my book, because you're basically buying visitors that at the top and middle of the funnel. So you're not buying the high intent visitors who look for some commercial intent key phrase. On the other hand, if you have a page in Google Analytics, like one of your sales pages, that's got like a 3 or 4 or 5% conversion rate, like visitors who land on that page just found what they need. Yeah, let's buy some visitors to that, because when you found your best mousetrap, put some cheese on that, baby. It's going to work. Like, your data is telling you that that one is worth it. So I think that bottom paid ads, if you have high confidence in what happens after the click, then it's a much lower risk investment. There's a whole topic of landing page optimization and UX and persuasion copywriting that goes with this. But I see analytics accounts all the time where I just immediately think, like, they're going to make lots of money if they could just get more visitors here. What's the cost per click for that? They should totally invest.
Okay. But what you're saying is, before that decision, you better have some real confidence in the quality of that content that you're promoting using pay-per-click.
It's your key conversion rate for that landing page in Google Analytics, segmented by traffic, filtered by traffic source.
Yep.
No, but this is never say never, right? If we're being balanced in our thinking and not biased for a specific channel, if we're open to ideas and we think of every idea as a hypothesis, heck yeah, let's explore it.
That's the world I want to live in, right? Every idea is a hypothesis.
Let's play this game.
Absolutely. And that actually brings us to the end of our conversation here. But before we can really finish, I have a couple more questions. And this one is really the marching orders. So for the content marketer who really wants to level up their game and go from pretty good to really great, what are the skills or the mindset shifts that they need to work on today?
Well, if ideas are hypotheses and actions are experiments, then you need to be able to validate those experiments with some data and get some confidence in that. So basic GA4 skills, that's not for a different person, that's for you. That's for the marketer. You don't delegate that to another person. When you drive your car, you don't have someone else in charge of the dashboard. The dashboard is for the driver. You're the person going to point B. You need the dashboard. You need the analytics. You need to know if that effort worked. You need to know campaign tracking codes, and you need to know, how conversion rates are calculated and how explorations are built. Secondly, after that, I would either find good resources for prompts or just look for, work with AI to create prompts to start auditing the things you're making and share ideas. Is this, how could this be better? What's missing from this? Get a persona, save it as a PDF, drag that into all of your prompt experiments, and just say, based on this visitor's information needs, to what extent does this meet or not meet? Rate the extent to which this aligns or does not align. And then it'll give you more ideas. But past that, I don't know, every marketer is either creative or focused on service or they're a programmer. There's so many skills. Marketing is a huge, huge category, Joe. I mean, there's room for everybody here. So past measurement and basic AI, I think that it breaks down into 1 million things, and it's whatever your passion might be.
Right. Lucky for us. Right. I do have one more follow-up to that. And that is, what are a couple of recommendations for where people should be looking for good information to improve their AI prompting? Where would you recommend they go look?
Honestly, weird answer, AI. write the prompt, ask AI to improve the prompt, keep iterating, tell it your goals, give it roles. It's way faster than wading through a bunch of YouTube videos. My best tip for learning AI is to find other practitioners and people running experiments and do regular calls with them. I'm part of a mastermind group. All we do is trade AI tips. You know, I have monthly calls with two different people, and all we do is trade AI tips. What are you doing? Did it work? Wow, how did you do that? Can you show me again?
It really does feel like something that is going to depend on a lot of one-to-one or group interactions, but real human interactions for us to learn. So far, I'm finding it's really difficult to train someone to use those tools, to use AI.
Community.
Community, which does bring us to the end of our conversation, Andy. Thank you so much for joining me today. And thanks to our listeners for listening to the Changeover podcast. Remember, effective marketing content is relevant to your audience. It delivers information and insights that are actually valuable to them. And the content marketer's promise is to deliver it all with consistency to build credibility and trust over time. Thanks so much for joining us, Andy.
Thank you, Joe. This was fun.
Thanks for joining us on the Changeover podcast. Remember to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Wired.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know what you'd like to hear about next time by messaging Wired Group on social media. Thanks for listening.